back. So I know that we said that last episode would be the last episode of Professor Sapop for a little while. And it's true. Jerry and I do want to pull back from the podcast for a little bit to focus writing our screenplay this year. But we had 6 episodes in season 1, and so we really wanted to do 6 episodes this season as well. So we decided to do a bonus episode, and with the Oscars coming up, we are going to talk about this year's nominees. Spoiler alert, obviously, if you haven't seen any of the films nominated, we are going to give you some big-time spoilers. But without further ado, let's get into it.
Welcome now, the Professors of Pop.
Let's get into a little history of the Oscars to start. I was watching some really fun YouTube channels this morning. I highly recommend Real Hollywood. And they talk all about old Hollywood. Also, Be Kind Rewind. That's another YouTube channel I really, really recommend. Anyways, so they taught me some things I didn't know, Jerry. Did you know that the Oscars first formed in 1927? And basically, what it was the studio bosses were seeing where the direction of the labor in Hollywood was going. And they saw that people were starting to form unions, and of course they were really scared about that, so they didn't want actors and writers, you know, it didn't matter if the lower plebs of society unionized, because what are they going to get pittance for their work? But if these big name actors start unionizing, they're going to be in big trouble. And if we can see by the strikes this year, this issue is still going on. But what they did was they created the Academy of Motion Picture Sciences as a fancy, glossy way of saying, be part of the Academy, but you don't get any benefits or medical or dental.
This
right?
is obviously before like SAG-AFTRA or United Artists.
Yeah, no, this is in the 20s. They created the Academy as a way to lure big name talent away from trying to form a union. Right. It was, of course, all about money under the guise of prestige, which is a really interesting way you could just look at Hollywood in general, right? So it wasn't officially called, nicknamed the Oscars until 1935. And there are a bunch of people in Hollywood who all claim, of course, that they were the ones who created the nickname Oscar. The most fun one, in my opinion, is Betty Davis, famous film actress from All About Eve. She claimed that she nicknamed it the Oscar after the back of the statue, the ass of the statue, reminded her of the ass of her first husband.
Oh, really? So, but was the statue not designed after someone?
No. So, the statue was created, designed by Cedric Gibbons, who's one of the head art directors at MGM. He did the sketch, and then he went to George Stanley, who was a famous sculptor in LA, who made the first model. And it's basically the same one since the 20s. They've had different versions of it, right? Like during World War II, when they didn't have, they couldn't have medals.
Right.
They did like a cheaper version of it. But then after the Oscar, after the war was over and medal was available again, then if you had won an Oscar during that time, you were allowed to trade it in for the fancier one. And then on these YouTube channels I was watching this morning, they showed Katharine Hepburn's Oscar versus a more recent one. And you can see like the medals that they've used might have changed, because Katharine Hepburn's at this point the gold is starting to fade a little bit. But I think they've made changes along the way in what the Oscar is made of. Like it's much shinier, it's much heavier than it was. But it's the same basic statue of a man holding a saber, a crusader sword, and he's standing on a film reel with 5 spokes, and those 5 spokes represent the initial 5, not unions, but the guilds, I guess, of the Academy. The writers, the directors, the producers, the technicians.
Right.
And I'm not thinking about the fifth one. Was it costume? No, I don't know. But
maybe stage costume?
Yeah, or... maybe one of you can tell me.
You can write in and tell us, please.
So Douglas Fairbanks was the first Academy of President. And again, this really shows how the studios were really trying to go for, we're going to make this a flashy, fun event right from the beginning to of course, hide the fact that they didn't want to pay their actors properly.
Right.
But it really comes down to, when you hear about this, just what you think about when you think about the Oscars. That it's the most prestigious prize in all of Hollywood, but it really doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean empirically that you have made a better film than someone. It just means that you have learned how to work the Hollywood system the best, in my personal opinion.
Right. Obviously, I mean, they throw in a few, like, foreign pictures, but mostly it's from its own industry. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Okay, so now Jerry and I are going to go through some of the nominees for this year. We haven't seen every movie, but we've seen a lot, and yeah, we're gonna talk about what we think about them.
Sure.
And without further ado, class is in session.
I'm not a betting man, but I definitely recommend, if you want to know who are the odds-on favorite, to look at the Vegas odds, obviously. And if our first category is going to be cinematography, so we're going to compare our choices to the Vegas odds. And for best cinematography right now, Oppenheimer is obviously in the lead, and followed by Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, and El Conde.
So I haven't seen El Conde. That'll be my first note on this list.
That's fine, but the and its last chance, it has the last in the category of possibility of winning this year.
Okay, I haven't even heard of that film. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one for cinematography, my personal choice would be Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes, I think Killers had my favorite cinematography.
It was not a perfect film. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot that you can nitpick about the movie, but it looked really beautiful.
Oh, so beautiful. And the scenes, my favorite scenes is just the wood, like when you're inside and you could like almost like taste the wood.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, but they got that feel of like the 1920s down. I don't know if
you're. And when they're dancing in the fields doing the Native American dance and the oil is going, oh, so yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And there's this really cool shot where there's a fire sequence and I don't know, there's some kind of like a panel, like some kind of like window with like bubbles on top, and it's just like it makes these really cool images. I don't know, it's one of these amazing scenes in the movie.
And then if I had to pick if I had to pick another one, Poor Things. My god,
Poor Things had great cinematography.
You know, I often,
the thing is, Oppenheimer, besides the nuke going off, which is pretty amazing, and it didn't really blow me away cinematography wise. I know it's the favorite to win in this category, but if you're looking for possibility of a long shot winning, I would say Killers of the Flower Moon being the long shot in this.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or Poor Things.
According to Vegas, it's a long shot. But as I've learned, and as I said, just because something wins the statue doesn't mean it necessarily deserves it. Okay. All right, what's the next?
Okay, so next we're doing best editing. So Oppenheimer, of course, in the lead, followed by Anatomy of the Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, The Holdovers, and Poor Things. Steph, what's your favorite in this category?
So I think in this case, Oppenheimer will rightly deserve the award.
It had very good editing.
It had pacing. Yeah. Usually, I've always complained, I like Christopher Nolan movies until about 2.5 hours in.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, come on, let's end this movie already. This was the first movie of his where I sat happily through the whole thing and I didn't think once about how long it was going. And the pacing is pacing and editing are a really big part of that.
I would say actually for the first time in for a 3-hour movie, Killers of the Flower Moon was really good in its editing. That, although
that as I said, admitted that movie, it's 3.5 hours. I waited for Killers of the Flower Moon till it was streaming at home because that runtime was just too long for me. Yeah. I do kind of regret it because I can imagine how much more impactful it would have been to see it on the big screen. But that movie I was starting to feel it by 3 hours in for sure. I really wanted it to be over.
Right. I think we feel the same way about Scorsese. It's like although I felt all this information was good, I wish he would just cut his films a little bit more.
Let's do a 2-hour movie. I'm talking to you too, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. And of course, we really like the editing and the holdovers, of course, which is a great movie.
Yes. Directed by Alexander Payne, starring the amazing Paul Giamatti. Yeah. I would love, I know it's not going to happen, but for the holdovers to just sweep the Oscars because, God, that movie was so great.
Paul Giamatti's performance really just made that movie. It was a good story, but
he made it.
Something about him and being a curmudgeon is like the best thing ever because he's the perfect person
to
play that role.
He's the perfect curmudgeon.
He is. Okay, so let's move on to adapted screenplay.
Yeah, so we're kind of lump adapted and original together to talk about it.
All right, so for adapted, we got Oppenheimer, followed by Barbie, American Fiction, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. And then for best original screenplay, we have The Holdovers, Anatomy of Fall, Past Lives, Maestro, and May December. Just a note, I did not see May December. I didn't have a chance to see it.
I have, and I loved that movie.
You know, it was good?
It's not going to win. No.
No,
it's really
plus
tried.
3,500.
They really tried to do an Oscar campaign push for this movie, and it just kind of fell into no. Like, people were really into it for about 2 seconds, and then it just kind of dropped off the radar, which is too bad.
Yeah.
I do recommend you seeing it. It's available on Netflix. But for original screenplay, The Holdovers is the betting, like, to win makes me very happy.
Right.
Because as I've said, I love that movie. It's like a warm blanket on a cold day. You just feel good after. So I'd be very happy to see that win.
My sleeper prediction for a long shot is American Fiction for best adapted screenplay. Because that movie was amazing. And the dialogue was amazing. And it was like, because you have to write dialogue for someone who's a genius, and they did it. Like, it sounds like someone who's a genius.
We watched American Fiction.
What's the actor's?
Jeffrey
Wright, who's a great actor.
And Sterling K. Brown.
Really sold it.
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown was amazing. I would love for Sterling K. Brown
to win best support. We'll talk about that.
Yes, but we'll talk more about that after.
There was a really good running joke in it about him being played by somebody else in the movie, which I thought was pretty funny.
For adapted screenplay, I would kind of love to see Barbie win, just because I think that'll be the only major award it has any chance at. Greta, obviously not nominated. It's not going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
It will probably win a few, Best Costume Design, Best Set Design, stuff like that, because the movie did look beautiful. Yeah.
Oppenheimer is in Best Adapted.
Yeah.
To win. Holdovers is the favorite in Best Original. So
yes, as
I think
said,
I definitely think it could take it. Anatomy of a Fall, although was a great, it's good. It's basically a coin toss between these two movies, I think. Also, Anatomy of a Fall does have a great screenplay. Like, it's a great,
it's a really great story.
It is a great story.
It's one of those, is it so obvious that she did it or not? And you're not sure. Probably are, but is there some doubt, you know?
Yeah. And the third was Past Lives. I like that movie, but it wasn't like a write home about. Like, as a Korean movie goes, I just expect so much from like Korean movies and
gonna disagree with you wholeheartedly. I loved Past Lives.
It was one of my favorite movies
I've seen so far in 2024.
No, I like the themes. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like a Sofia Coppola movie.
It is very
similar, like
Home Match. Very vibe.
Very, very inner vibe. But
in
fact, the director
of that movie and Sofia Coppola just did a thing together.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's funny that you say that.
Yeah, they're very influenced on Sofia Coppola. So, yeah.
But also I have to say that most people who I've talked to who love that movie are women. Yeah. So maybe that's part of the difference here.
Divide.
The romance part of it just gets us differently.
I would say it's a three-way tie for original screenplay. I mean, the Vegas odds is basically a three-way tie between The Holdovers and Enemy of the Fall and Past Lives. So, I mean, I just don't think Past Lives really has a chance, but if you're saying you think so, maybe
I'm not saying I think so. Yeah. I think that even though I love Past Lives so much and I cannot recommend it enough, I think that when you think about the Academy Awards, you have to consider it in terms of not the best. The best thing doesn't necessarily win. It's what has the best momentum in like pop culture,
right?
In the media, who did the best campaigning? Right. Like it's a campaign.
Yeah.
So, and I think The Holdovers is doing very well. You know, for being a charming little indie. It is absolutely holding its own amongst Oppenheimer and Barbie and all that in the awards season. So, yeah. And they've actually, you know, they have picked up a few things here or there. So I do think The Holdovers is right. The best bet. And
I mean, for variety, I don't like sweeps. I don't want to see a movie sweep everything.
I think that happens a lot. That's yeah. The Holdovers, that's the one.
The Holdovers might chance. Hold the line here. Okay, so now let's get into the good stuff. Supporting actress. So right. We got Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers
in the lead.
Daniel Brooks for The Color Purple in second. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer. America Ferrera for Barbie. And Jodie Foster for Naiad.
So as I've already stated, I love The Holdovers. I have not seen The Color Purple. So right. I can't give my opinion on Danielle's performance.
Right.
Emily was great in Oppenheimer, but it's not her best role, and she hasn't won anything.
Well, the odds-on favorite of Divine Joy Randolph winning in The Holdovers is huge. She has a massive lead. She won the Golden Globes, I think, leading up to it.
Like, I have to admit, there is a small part of me that would love to see America Ferrera upset and win.
Yeah, but I mean the odds.
She was great in Barbie, but no, yeah. Divine
this has
is probably
one of the biggest
win.
Gaps. It's like 3,000 points in Vegas, so everyone thinks Divine Joy is definitely going to win this, and she deserves to win it. It was a fantastic performance. Unfortunately, I didn't see Daniel Brooks' performance. I didn't have time, and Emily Blunt's performance I thought was okay. I didn't like think it was the greatest.
It wasn't her best work. No.
No. I mean, to be honest, I didn't find the acting, even though everyone thought it was a good movie, I thought the story was really interesting, and the acting was okay.
Besides Killian,
Yeah, like, the Killian was great, but, I mean, I just found, like, the movie, like, a lot of Christopher Nolan movies, the story is more important than the actors, almost. It's like George Lucas or any of those kind of directors, where the acting's, like, secondary.
Performances are secondary to the majestic, story he's trying to tell. Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's move on
Best
supporting actor. Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer is in the lead, of course. Ryan Gosling is second in Barbie. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. And Sterling K. Brown in
American
Fiction.
SKB, of course, is the dark horse in this. I would love to see SKB.
They're definitely going to give it to Robert Downey
Jr.
Will. There's so many factors. Yeah. This is his third nomination that he's never won.
Oh, yeah, no. I know.
This is the first performance where he's not like crazy running around like a crazy maniac. He's so subdued in it, showing his acting abilities. Mm-hmm. They'll give it to Robert Downey Jr.
No, they will. They will. I'm just saying.
The fact that Ryan Gosling is second for Barbie is hilarious.
He will not win. He's going to perform I'm Just Ken at the Oscars, I'm sure. I think they've already confirmed that. So that'll be fun to see. But yeah, no, he won't win anything next month.
And Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon was pretty good.
He will not win.
I really liked Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I thought that
Mark
was
great.
Amazing
Mark
performance.
Was great. Yep.
As like a hornball, crazy, like libertine guy who's like has the tables turned on him. It was really good. It was a good performance.
He gave this great interview where he said he loved this movie because it was who's kind of falling into the sad dad character.
Yeah.
Where he keeps getting hired to play these roles of a, like, depressed dad or whatever, going through stuff. So he was so happy to try out this new project where he just played a totally different... Because, yeah, usually Mark Ruffalo plays the nice, whatever, kind of depressive person, but here he just went all out. The libertine, as Jerry said, and it was great.
Yeah, really like that. Okay, so let's move to Best Actress. Now we're getting into the thick of things here.
The thick of things.
All right, so Emma Stone is in the lead for Poor Things, but it's very close. Lily Gladstone, it's like literally 100 points between them for Killers of the Flower Moon. And if she won, she'd be the first Native American actress to win the category. Sandra Huller for Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan for Maestro. And Annette Bening for Naiad. Just want to say, I know you didn't see
Naiad. I have not seen Naiad. That's
yeah. Annette Bening was amazing in this performance. She was really good. I'd like her to win maybe an Oscar, but I don't think she's going to win this. It's definitely, I think, Lily Gladstone. I think it's going to be...
It's, as Jerry said, it's a tight race. Gave the best performance this year, for sure.
I think Emma Stone gave a great performance, but unfortunately she's in the category with Lily Gladstone.
I also would prefer to see Lily win for a lot of reasons. I do think if I had to pick between the two, I would pick Lily, but that doesn't mean that Emma didn't give an amazing performance. And if Emma wins, which she is projected to here, by a very slim margin, it could really go either way.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see Emma too, but I really hope Lily wins.
And props to Sandra Huller for being in two Academy Award movies.
This woman, she just came out of... I mean, when I say came out of nowhere, I totally understand.
We just saw Zone of Interest, and she's great in that. Like,
yes, we saw... Oh, my God.
Lady.
Oh, my God.
Not want to live with.
Jerry and I went to Zone of Interest last night, and that is a horror movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like a basically horror movie.
It's the scariest... It's amazing how scary it could be without ever actually seeing anyone get... Anyways, we'll talk about it more when we get into the best pictures. But I love Sandra, and please
Carey Mulligan's performance in Maestro was definitely it was one of my favorite performances of this
year.
Poor
Carrie. You know, she had some early buzz to be the lead.
She's just in two... This category is two packs.
It's just two packs, yeah.
It's like being, like, in the best actor category with, the best actors in the world.
The thing about Carrie, though, is that she's such a good actress. You know she's going to be nominated 6 more times and will win at some point.
The thing is
but this is not her year.
Well, this is the thing with Maestro. It's a good movie, but because of I find the kind of, like... The way that
Bradley
Cooper plays Leonard Bernstein, which is, he's doing a fine job, but they give him like all these prosthetics on his face, and I find it really distracting in the movie
from
for some reason.
The very
but she
first...
saves this movie because she's so good as this, because the movie's really kind of about her, which is really cool. Really interesting.
From the first scene of watching Maestro, all I could think was, this is a fucking Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
Like, Bradley is trying to... It's not that I didn't like it. I did like Maestro.
Yeah.
But he was trying so hard for this to be like a Oscar sweet kind of movie, you know? And it's so obvious that he was trying so
Where
hard.
Where Carey Mulligan, just her acting skill is so solid and so good.
Yeah.
She really makes this movie amazing.
Carey, girl, you deserve an Oscar, but you won't get it this
unfortunately
year.
Unfortunately, this year.
Yeah. All right.
Odds for the best actor. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Followed by Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. I can't believe Jeffrey Wright is below Bradley Cooper right now. But and Cole Domingo for Rustin. I did not see this movie.
We have not seen Rustin, but we've seen all the others. I would love for Paul Giamatti to win, but I also did really like Cillian Murphy's performance.
It's very close, but I think Paul Giamatti has a very good chance.
He does. He does. And that would make me really happy.
I really think it's a toss-up. It depends if Oppenheimer is going to get a sweep.
Yeah.
And it really depends on what people... Like, sometimes when people vote, it's like the last movie they saw or heard about. So you don't know.
Yeah. So there's a very... It's the... I can see here from looking at the odds, it's definitely a bit bigger than the odds between Lily and Emma winning. Lily and Emma, it's really could go either way. Killian does have a slight advantage here, according to Vegas odds over Paul, but yeah. I still am holding out hope for Paul to win.
And Jeffrey Wright's performance in America.
Oh, he was amazing. He was
amazing. And actually, I can't believe he's in fourth in this category, according to Vegas odds, but that's what they gave
me. Again, as we've said,
it's because he's not necessarily as known as Bradley Cooper. Yeah. That's the main reason. But Jeffrey Wright definitely one day will win an Oscar because he deserves one. Okay, so let's move on to Best Director.
All right.
We got Christopher Nolan and Oppenheimer, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Yorgos Lanthimos, I never pronounced his name right, for Poor Things, Justine Trite for Anna Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
So the, you know, feminist in me would love to see Justine win, especially since Greta didn't get nominated for Barbie. But yeah. I think this is a pretty safe bet. You know, Vegas certainly Nolan. Thinks so that Christopher Nolan's going to win.
It's a, yeah, it's a massive
one. It's a massive, it's like massive.
The biggest, I think. It's like 2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Martin Scorsese has won it before, I believe. So,
and Killers of the Flower Moon was good, but it was not his best movie.
Yeah.
Poor Things. It was an amazing movie. Oh, I would be very happy to see Yorgos win.
I think
none of them have much of a chance and against Christopher Nolan. And as much as The Zone of Interest, oh my God, that movie's going to stay with me for a long time.
Jonathan Glazer is a up-and-coming director. He's still kind of newish.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I don't know if you've seen Under the Skin. I love that movie because he's experimental. He does a lot of experimental stuff, and there's a lot of cool new stuff that might be put in movies in the future that he did in this movie, which was amazing.
I think we'll hear more of him at the Oscars in the future.
That was a good movie.
This year is not his year,
No. Okay, so we're on to the big one.
The big one.
Best Picture. So here are your choices. Number one, Oppenheimer. Poor Things. Number three, The Holdover. Number four, Barbie. Number five, Killers of the Flower Moon. Number six, Anatomy of a Fall. Number seven, American Fiction. Number eight, The Zone of Interest. Number nine, Past Lives. And 10, Maestro.
So, the odds say Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I do think that, it will probably be Oppenheimer. But from this list, if I was going to pick out anything that I'd love to see also win, The Holdovers, I'd love to see Past Lives. And, I mean, maybe The Zone of Interest?
I mean, if the Zone of Interest wins, it'd be
a huge upset.
Yeah, it'd be a huge upset.
Yeah.
I honestly think Oppenheimer is going to win. I think the odds on favorite. It would be amazing if Poor Things won, but I just don't see them giving Poor Things.
Especially since his last movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it won Best Picture, but. Right.
But also, movies are also about, Best Picture movies are also about zeitgeist, too. It's about, like, what's going on in the
world.
And, like, whatever's relevant. And I found the two movies were The Zone of Interest
and Oppenheimer
were the kind of the most relevant to, like, the geopolitical situation now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're anything, they're going to give it to Oppenheimer because Zone of Interest is
experimental. You know, Poor Things is way too experimental.
And Poor Things is too experimental. You're not going to see these kind of movies.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, Vegas tells it that Oppenheimer is likely it. So before we end, why don't we just get into a little bit of Oppenheimer? Overall, what did you think of the movie?
A lot of people are like, what's cool was it showed Christopher Nolan can do a biopic that's not like super showy. Like it was a lot of like dialogue, a lot of talking, a lot of stuff about politics at the time. And he showed all that. It was really cool. And then he has the cool scene, but it was really funny because I had a lot of my friends who went to that movie and they were like, ugh, it wasn't very good. It was a lot of talking. And I'm like, it's a movie about a scientist. It made me laugh. And I was like, what did you expect? So, and I went to go see it and I liked it. I like everyone's performances really well. However, I didn't like think a lot about the movie when I left. Mm-hmm. When I went to go see Poor Things, yeah, I thought about it. When I went to see Zone of Interest, I thought about that movie a lot.
Yeah.
Even though Holdover is kind of thought about it. It's weird. I didn't think anything about Oppenheimer.
No, but that really says something, right?
I thought about other movies that Christopher Nolan has made, you know? And, yeah. Like, it's just this movie, I didn't think much about it. Maybe because I knew too much about the history about it.
Maybe that, maybe like you were saying, it's too much in the zeitgeist at this point.
Perhaps, yeah. So it's possible that if that's the case, maybe Oppenheimer won't win Best Picture this year.
I guess we're going to find out, eh? Yeah. Well, as we wrap up here, I just want to let you know that we will be, so not tweeting because we are off X, fuck Elon Musk.
We're on Instagram.
But we're on Instagram Threads. And so we will be threading. Is that what they call it now instead of tweeting? We'll be
threading through the Oscars.
We will be threading through the Oscars on March 10th. So I hope you will follow along live and, you know, make fun of celebrities with us.
Yeah, and tell us who you think you're going to win this
please,
year.
Yes, please. Share with us podcast. On Instagram, Facebook.
As this podcast will be coming out on Friday before the Oscar.
So... This, after saying bye and then coming back, this is us saying goodbye, not forever. The professors will be back again for a full season 3. But we are going to take a little pause to work on our screenplay, but we are going to keep updating you all about that as we go along. So class is dismissed for now, but we'll see you again really soon.
Welcome now, the professors of pop. Professors of Pop. Professors of Pop. Professors of Pop.